So I'm going to be real. I've been dealing with some issues lately. I've been eating a lot. A whole lot. No, seriously. You know, in 2010, I saw a nutritionist, and like she said, for me to stay away from grains and dairy. And it's the hardest thing, you know. And when I eat these grains and dairy, they're loaded with additives and preservatives and gluten and all kind of stuff that causes my body to hurt and it creates inflammation. So I'm telling you this because I want to be accountable. And so anyways, no, really, I told Kitty, I think I told my husband, but I'm telling the church because I want to be accountable, and I need accountability. We all need accountability in our life. And so I have stopped eating grains and dairy, and it's really, really hard because I've just been eating meat and vegetables. And so, guys, I could eat a lot. I mean, I could really eat a lot. I ate so much yesterday. I ate a hamburger patty and 10 chicken wings. And he's looking at me, and he's like, are you really going to eat all those? I was like, yeah. I said, I'm not even filled up. And guess what? It don't even sustain me. Like 2 hours later, I'm hungry again. So I said all that just to share with you that we can hunger. We could be hungry and take these things that we think is going to satisfy us, but they're not sustaining. They're not going to satisfy us because, see, there was something missing. There was some bread missing, some starch, some of that comfort food, right? And so, but seriously, I didn't tell you that just as an introduction. I really told you because it's true, and I do want accountability, and I am really trying to eat healthy and stay away from the grains and the dairy, because don't you know that God has created us to live an abundant life? Not a life that's filled with sickness and pain and that we think medication could soothe it. No, that's not the way of life. The way of life is to be healed and have an abundant life. Amen? So, saying all that, I've been eating this stuff, but yet there's still something missing. Last night I'm looking in the cupboard and I'm like, man, I could really go for a biscuit. I could go for some bread. I had biscuits in there. I was wanting to bake these biscuits. But instead, I didn't bake all of this, but I baked some bread last night. Can you all see this? Okay. Because it's just like how we hunger for things in our own physical body to fill us up and to sustain us and to satisfy us. We could look at the things of the world to sustain us, to want to satisfy us. And maybe we do. Maybe we get that temporary fulfillment. Maybe we can get satisfied for a little bit, but it doesn't last. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's temporary. It only lasts us for a little bit. And so I wanna take us to a scripture. Because before I take us to a scripture, it's like, see this bread here? When I studied how they baked the bread back in the Bible days, they said that they would gather up this wheat and they would grind it, right? And they would prepare it and they would bake it. And they would bake it about an inch thick only. They baked it into cakes. And they baked it into circles, into round pieces, or in loaves. But it was about an inch thick. And so I wanted to just show you, this is what it looked like. They said it was like as big as a plate. And they never cut bread, they always broke it. They always broke it. And so see, there's times where maybe we might wanna take a little bit of this bread and just get a taste of it and think that it's gonna satisfy us. But there's always something else. There's always something else missing out of our life. So I want to read to you in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, as we're preparing here. We ask, God, that you bless this word, that you anoint this time, God, anoint the message, anoint your people to hear and to receive, Father God, what you have for us. Lord, I'm asking that we would receive your truth with joy and gladness. And Father God, I pray that we believe. Okay. So John chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is called the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So he went over to this, he crossed the Sea of Galilee, and what we've been learning, so see, I want to share something with you. We've been doing this book study by Lisa Turkhurst called Finding I Am. And so during this study, it has revealed a lot of stuff to us women. So I want to share a few things, and I want to invite you all into our study today, okay? And so saying all that, we found out that this Sea of Galilee is not really a sea. It was a lake. It was a freshwater lake. But it had some atmosphere into it that caused it to act like a sea. The waves in it would get really high, and there was some stormy weather into this sea or lake, whatever it may be. And so there was a time when Jesus, he crossed over it, and he puts himself to a mountain, and then now he sees this multitude coming up to him. And so he has mercy on this multitude. And so he's looking at not only their spiritual need, but he's looking at their physical need. And so he says to his disciples, let's feed these people. Go and find them some food. And so this is the story of the 5,000. You all know this story, right? And so there was a big green field, and he made everyone sit down, and it only mentions the men in there, but we know that some of these men had families and relatives, so we know that there was more than 5,000. And so he had the disciples. He took some bread, five loaves of bread and two fish. He held it up. He gave thanks for it, and this food multiplied, and his disciples gave it out. And so the people had no clue, really, that miracle took place, but they remember the miracles that Jesus did before this. They remember the times when he healed the diseased. He remembered the times when demon-possessed people were being delivered. And so after that there, the people were fed and filled. The disciples knew from then that, oh my goodness, this is the prophet that was sent to us. And so after that, they wanted to attack Jesus and make him a king. So Jesus fled from him, and he went back to the mountain. At that point, the disciples get in their boat, and they want to row to the other side to Capernaum, right? I want to just paint a picture for you. So as they're rowing, they kind of get caught in the middle of the sea, in the middle of this lake, and the waves are really high, and they're you know, like, just rowing, and they're not getting anywhere. Then before you know it, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, right? And as soon as Jesus comes, he calms the waves. Jesus gets in the boat. Bam! Miraculously, the boat ends up to the destination. That's what the Bible says. As soon as Jesus got into the boat, they were there to the other side. So, they're there finally to the other side, right? Bear with me. So, reading in John, I'm going to be in John chapter 6 the whole time. I'm just jumping around to different verses. Going to verse 24. Now, they're already on the other side. In the meantime, the multitude comes, and they're looking for a boat. It's like, hey, where's the disciples? Where's Jesus? But hey, we got to get to the other side. So some people from Tiberias came. There were some boats parked there. The multitude got into the boat, and they went to the other side to Capernaum. Now, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there or his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. This multitude was seeking after Jesus. Do we ever find ourselves seeking after the Lord? And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you come here?" And Jesus answered them and said, now I think this is kind of like in your face. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal upon him." So that's saying right there, we search for Jesus. We search and we seek for him. But why do we want him? Do we want him because we wholeheartedly love him? Because we know that he is the bread of life? Because we know that he is our Father who has breathed life into us? Or do we just want him for what he could do for us? Do we want him because maybe he could heal us? Maybe he could give us some more food to eat? Because that's why they wanted him. Because they knew that he gave them the bread. He knew that he fulfilled their need. And so they wanted him to fulfill more needs. Is that why we serve God? So we could get our natural desires filled up. Do we serve him for temporary fulfillment? That for our earthly, carnal cravings? Do we want him just to heal our family? Do we want him just to bless our finances? Do we want him just to fix that relationship, protect our kids? Why? This is a deep question. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, why do we serve the Lord? Why do we seek after Jesus? Do we call ourselves a Christian? Do we take on the name of God? Do we take on the name of Christ? Why? And so God has just been dealing with me personally. You know, me myself, I'm not going to be up here and act like I live this perfect life and that I seek Jesus just because I am madly in love with him. Because there's times where I have questioned God. There's times where I've been angry. There's times where, you know, we want to give up sometime. We don't experience the abundant life all the time that God has given us. You know, there's times where we search for things in this world to satisfy us. I was just thinking about all the vehicles that we've purchased. And let me tell you something, it was exciting. We had a Hummer, we had three Corvettes, we had a Mercedes, we had trucks and vans and SUVs. We had so many vehicles, and guess what? They were all nice vehicles. And you know what? I was super excited. It was like a high every time we got a new vehicle. But guess what? It gets old. They get old. Before I had to keep the tank full, now I run on empty. Before, the car would get cleaned every week. Now there's trash in it. See, everything gets old. Everything that this world can do for us, everything that we think that this world can sustain in our life, it gets old. It doesn't last. And so we've learned about these two different lifestyles that we can live here on earth. It's called bios versus zoe. And I know that's like a foreign word to you, and Pastor Aaron might even be saying, why is she even talking about that this morning? But you know what? Well, maybe he's not. Maybe I'm passing judgment. Sorry, my hon. But I learned so much about these two words, and they really identify and they bear witness with our identity as a human being and as a child of God. And so this bios life, it is a lifestyle that is temporary. It's our natural lifespan. This bio life is our natural lifespan. It's our temporary life that is not complete. It's kind of like that dash in the middle of a tombstone, from the day we were born until the day we leave for eternity. It's the bios life. It's our livelihood. It's everything we can do on earth to satisfy our fleshly desires. That is the bios life. Do we have that bios mentality? It's everything that we can achieve and conquer, but it's temporary and it's not complete. But see, there's got to be a balance. We as we're here in our fleshly tent, in our fleshly body, we are living here on earth. And there is things in our life that does need satisfied and that does need fulfilled. But we cannot make that our only priority. And so it's our livelihood. Like I said, it's our state of existence. It's our physical life. But when I talk about the Zoe life, that is the life in Christ. That's our vitality. It's our abundant life that only Christ can give. We search for so much, but really we need the life that only God can give us. We think if we have this new car, or we think if we have, if this bill gets paid and we get that new carpet and I have this piece of jewelry, or, you know, if my husband was like that, or if my children were like this, we would think that would fulfill us so much. But no, life in Christ is the abundant life. It's life devoted to God. It's life belonging to God. It's absolute fullness of God. It's meaningful. It's endless. It's life in God's kingdom. It's life in our soul. That's what this Zoe life is. It's the opposite of the bios life. It's everything that the world cannot give us. It's everything that the world cannot fulfill. It's Christ's new love. It's every day. See, every day. See, Christ is new every day. We get new things, but they're not new every day. Don't you know when you buy a vehicle and you drive off the lot, it is considered a used pre-owned vehicle. It's not new anymore. But our life in Christ, it's new every day. He says, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are to become new. He says, don't dwell on the former things. Behold, I'm making all things new. It's our new life in the living God. Amen. And so when there's that emptiness in our life, what are we craving? Are we craving the natural? Are we craving the things that could sustain us? Are we craving the comfort food? Are we craving the food that will bring comfort? Because like I said, I've just been trying to eat meat and vegetables. I want that comfort food. I want potatoes. I want bread. I want a chicken pot pie. I want pizza. I want stuffing. I want anything with carbs. I want sugar. I want fulfillment. But guess what? It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me. It's going to cause temporary satisfaction. Temporary. So what bread am I craving? When there's emptiness in our life, what are we craving? You know, in Psalms, it tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is the way. He is the only way, the truth and the life. Amen. I don't know if you guys are getting this. I don't know what you've been hungry for. But I'll tell you what, I had a day the other day that was downright horrible. And I'm going to share that with you in a minute. But Jesus is the only bread. He is the only bread. And see, and this is what was so amazing about this bread. You know, back in the Bible days, this was their livelihood. This is what they ate. Bread was very sustainable, it was very fulfilling, and children and families would wake up to the smell of bread. They would wake up hearing their parents, their mom, grinding wheat on a grindstone, on a millstone. they would grind the wheat and they would prepare the bread. And that's what they would do. And they would eat it basically three times a day. They would have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is what they would do. And they would prepare this bread. It was stable. It was satisfying. People could actually survive just on bread and water, believe it or not. It was their comfort food. But I want to read to you about something, about how important it is to have the life that's fulfilled in Christ. In Jeremiah 25, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, which is joy, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstone, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And so what that's literally talking about is talking about the believer. It's talking about the children of Israel who was delivered out of bondage, but yet they were still living a lifestyle that wasn't sold out to God. They were still longing for the things of the world. They were still longing for idols. They were still hungry for the things that only the world could give them and not the things that God could give them. So God said, what's going to happen when the sound of the millstone is taken away and the voice of the bridegroom and bride? There's going to be a desolation. That millstone that's taken away out of their life represents the preparing of bread. It represents the preparing of natural bread, but we're taking it and preparing it and comparing it to our bread of life, our living bread, our bread of heaven. What happens when God is not in our life, when we're searching for other things to fill us instead of Jesus? It's like that millstone that's taken away. And you know what happens? Desolation. You know what desolation is? It is abandonment, loneliness, destruction. It means lay waste. There's no gladness, no joy, no peace. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes we could just go on in our everyday life and just do our simple routine. Maybe we might forget to pray. Maybe we might not have our intimate time with the Lord. But then we wander. Did you ever deal with times where there's no peace? Where there's just aggravation? And then we wonder, why? Why is life like this? What is life all about? What is life all about? And see, we think we can have spurts of Jesus. We think we can have a good moment here on Sunday. Or maybe we could go to a Bible study and have a good encounter. And we could really experience the fullness of God in these eventful days of the week or in these eventful days of the month. But what happens to everyday life? And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. This is not a Sunday-to-Sunday relationship. This is not a three-day relationship. This is every day that you could have the fullness of life. This is every day that God wants us to taste the bread of life, the bread of heaven. This is every day that He wants us to seek after Him and only get fulfilled by Him. Amen? But we want to do everything we want to do and still want God. We still want to, live our life without reading, without praying, and still expect to have this close relationship with the Father. And then we wonder when things happen in our life, and we wonder when the destruction happens, when the loneliness, when the abandonment, when things don't go our way, we wonder, well, why is God doing this? No, God is not doing that to us. God has standards. He wants us to stay connected with Him. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But we wonder why things don't go right. When we're not obeying, when we're not believing, and we're not trusting. God wants this lifestyle, this Zoe lifestyle, this fulfillment in Christ lifestyle, every single day. Every day. See, in verses, I'm going to read down from verse 28 to 34. Are you guys okay? Are you getting anything out of this? Then they said to him, "What shall we do when we may?" Okay, this is the multitude talking back to the Lord. After he told them, remember, he told them that you're only here for the food. You're only here because of the loaves of bread. You're not here for anything else. He wants them to seek him because he is the God that could fulfill their needs with everlasting life. So then he said to them, then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And see, that's it. We want to think we could work the work of God. We think if we read five scriptures a day, or if we come to church, or if we feed the homeless, if we do all these good works, that's going to give us the abundant life. That's going to fulfill our life in Christ. No. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God that you..." Now, this is the work of God that we believe. This is the only work that God wants us to do, is believe. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it, and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Amen. His Father gives us the true bread from heaven. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they were looking for the fulfillment. They were looking for signs. They were looking to get filled up by man. They thought Moses gave them that bread, that manna from heaven. But no, that was God who supplied it. Amen. God supplies it. And so have you ever wondered? Have you ever just looked at life and say, what is this life all about? What am I searching for? Am I searching for temporary satisfaction? Am I searching for things that nobody can fulfill? Sometimes we look for people, places, and things to fill our need. The other day, I was just so miserable. I said, the same old roads drive down, same old places back and forth, the same old routine, nothing new. You know, I tell them, I said, I am young and vibrant. I want excitement, okay? I want to travel. I want to see different cities and countries and states. You know what I mean? And so you just get sick and tired of the same old, same old. And I was just having such a meltdown. But you know what, God showed me? God showed me that if I save my life, I'm going to lose my life. God wants me to give up my life for him. God wants me to hunger and thirst for righteousness. God wants me to seek ye first his kingdom and all its righteousness, and then these things will be added on to me. God doesn't want me to search for the things that this world could offer me. He doesn't want me to search for the things that my husband can offer me or friends could offer me. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe your life doesn't feel complete to you. Maybe there's something missing. Maybe there is that void. Maybe there is that emptiness. Maybe you're looking for the things of this world, the desire and the things of this world to comfort you. But God is the only desire that God wants us to have is the desire for the comforter, is our Holy Spirit. Because see, it's a privilege that we could have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Because Christ, when he ascended back up to heaven, he literally said, "I am going up to heaven to prepare a place for you. He's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. But Christ, in all of his glory, he was kind enough and good enough. And you know what he did? He left us his comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit that sustains us. That is the Spirit that gives us life and life more abundantly. That is the Spirit that lets us know that he's our everlasting Father, that he is our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is the one who makes provision for us. Amen. The Bible says our mind can plan our ways. We could say what we're going to do. We could say how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it. But it's God who orders our steps. Amen. And so God wants us, he just wants us to surrender. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to desire him. And sometimes I feel like we come to church as a routine. Oh, it's Sunday. What are you doing? Going to church. Are we really coming to church to serve? Are we really coming to church to receive truth? Are we really coming to church for a life-changing encounter with God? See, when I come to church, I don't come to church just out of routine. Even though we're pastors and we might be required to be here, When I come to the house of God, I am coming for an encounter. Because you know why? I'm coming to a place of unity with other believers. With other believers. I'm coming to participate in an atmosphere of worship. I am coming to hear the word of truth. I'm coming to have an encounter. Because see, I guarantee you at your workplace, come on, let's make it real. You at your workplace, maybe you're dealing with stress. Maybe you're dealing with attitudes, with people. Are you really worshiping? Are you really hearing the word? Are you really having an encounter with God? So when we come to the house of God, let's make it an opportunity to get into his presence and to get and take what all he has for us. Amen? So saying all that, when we hear the word of God, what do? Do we ingest it or do we digest it? And so in John chapter 6, verse 35, this is it. This is what he says to his people, to all the people that asked him for a sign and who told him about Moses. And he had to convince them that he is the one who gives the bread of life. Then he goes on to say, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Then over in 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for my life of the world. Amen. He gave himself. Jesus is that living bread. He is the bread of heaven. And he not only gave to us for now, he gave to us for all eternity. Amen. And so when I'm talking about the ingesting and the digesting of the word, we could take this word, what we're hearing today, we can even read in the Bible, but is it only laying on the surface? When I got challenged with these two words, ingest and digest, I was trying to figure out what does ingest mean. It's like indigestion. Did you ever eat something and it didn't sit well with you and it just stuck right here? Well, there's only two ways you could get relief from that. Unfortunately, you might have to vomit or hopefully be patient and allow it to digest. But it hurts and it's miserable. And that's what happens when we ingest the word. It's shallow. It's doubt. It's not believing. It's not being rooted or grounded or established. It's allowing the cares and problems to pluck us out, to uproot us. Amen? But when we digest the word, it's like taking this bread and taking a bite and eating it slowly and experiencing all the goodness it could give us. And allowing it to go deep, allowing it to digest. It's when we hear the word of God, it's allowing it to take root, to nourish us, to bring proper nutrition. It's obeying the word of God. It's coming to church. It's serving. It's giving. It's being planted like a tree. And that reminded me of the four soils. The seed that was sown on the wayside. The seed that was sown on the stony ground. That stony ground that had thin soil. And some of us, that might be like some of us, sometimes we might have thin skin. We could get offended so easy. We could get hurt so easy. We could take these things that could draw us right away and to stop us from being rooted and grounded. That's that ingesting. That's that shallow living when the seed doesn't go deep. When it just hangs out on the surface and it doesn't produce the right root. Because we let the cares of the world come against us. But when we digest the word, that means our heart, our soil is good ground. It means we're hungry for the word. We want to learn. We want to grow. And then when that seed is planted, it goes down deep and it produces 100, 60, and 30-fold. It produces all that it needs to do. It produces the right heart, the right attitude, the right belief system. It changes our atmosphere within ourselves. Because see, things might never change around us, but when we have the Word of God inside of us and the truth of the Living Father, it alters our personality. It changes us. It gives us a thankful heart. You know, when he held his bread up and he gave thanks, that's when the multiplication came. There's power in the thanks. There's power when we give thanks. Amen. And so, I just wanted to just share with you that it's time that we go deeper. It's time that we even change our attitude when we come to church. It's time, I believe, that we hunger and thirst for the living bread, for the bread of life, the bread that only could really give us the true abundant life, the bread that could give us the real health, the real nutrition. Amen. And so, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, God, for what you're doing here today. And God, I ask that you bless our people today, bless our families here, Lord, that we would not hunger for the things of this world. That we wouldn't hunger for the temporary things, God. But Lord, that we would only hunger and thirst for what you could truly give us, which is your spirit, your life, God. Lord, you breathed on us, God, just like you breathed on Adam and Eve, God. God, when you created them, Lord, you gave them your breath, Father God. And so, Lord, we need your breath today. We need your living breath today, God. Lord, we not only want to live, God, but we want to live the abundant life, Lord. We want to live with hope, God. We don't want to be hopeless, Lord. Father God, we want to live, God, to the fullness of Christ. And so right now, I don't know if maybe any of you had days or moments like I had, where maybe you're searching for the things that this world can offer you. Maybe you're in that place right now. Maybe you're searching for just the tangible things. Maybe you think that if this bill gets paid or if you had money for this. You know, bread is also referred to as money. Did you ever hear that phrase, being a breadwinner? My bread and butter. But that's not the bread that's going to sustain us. The bread that's going to sustain us is the living bread. And so, I ask people to do self-inventory. What's in our life? Is there any walls up? Is there any sin in our life? Is our lifestyle, I'm talking about the secret places of your life. The secret places of our life. Is it lining up with the Word of God? The secret places of life. Are we partnering with the devil or are we partnering with God? Are we paying our tithes? Are we giving an offering? Are we cheating people? Are we being sneaky? Are we being greedy? What's going on? I would ask that we would be real with ourselves, that there would be a heart of repentance in the house of God today. I pray that there would be a hunger and thirst for a true encounter with the living bread. I declare that there would be a hunger and a thirst for worship, that we wouldn't just sit back and sit down and look at everybody, but that we would be so hungry for God that we would just do our thing and wouldn't care what anybody else is doing. I pray right now that there is some self-inventory going on so that our spirits could be right with God. Amen. So if anybody wants prayer, please come. Don't let any walls, don't let nothing hold you back. If you feel like you're in bondage with anything, come so we could pray. If you're lacking that hunger, let's be real. Don't waste your time and come to church if you don't want an encounter with God. Don't waste your time. If you're sitting in the house of God, that's telling me that, you know what, it's important to you. And you love the Lord. And you want God. And you want Him to change. And you want change in your life. And you're here to love Him and worship Him. Then don't let nothing hold you back. But please, let's let our heart and our spirit line up with the Word of God. Let our actions line up with the Word of God. Don't say we love God, but then sit back like this and just look at everybody. Amen? Listen, we love you. We want change in our life. We want to see change. We want people to be sold out, madly in love with the Lord. So right now, I just come against every spirit of unbelief, every form of hurt, any kind of rejection. I bind pride right now in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, I declare, God, that You would loose Your people today, God. That there would be a hunger for change, a hunger for holiness, Lord. And I pray healing in the body of Christ, all the brokenness, all the hurt, the heartache, the doubt, the fear. God, I command it to go, Lord. And I pray, God, that we as a body would join together and receive Your abundant life, to receive the bread of life, the life of God that would truly sustain and fulfill us, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, right now I release you if you want to come up for prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear You say that I'm Your friend.